Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Sister entrepreneurs from Reno, Nevada, Kay and Shyla, are the owners of the Squeeze In Restaurant Group. With 12 locations in 4 states, these sisters oversee hundreds of employees, thousands of fans, and over $10 million in annual revenue. As the appointed marketing faculty for the John Maxwell team, they share their unique journey and expertise to aid the more than 25,000 members of the team in growing their influence with heart-centered, simple marketing strategies. I am so honored and delighted that they've agreed to spend a few minutes with us today. Welcome to the Soar to Success podcast, ladies.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here.
It's an honor to share with your audience.
Yes, truly. I can't wait for my audience to meet you and hear all the wonderful words of wisdom that you have. So I understand there's two separate businesses here, the restaurant business that your family owns, and then your personal brand. So tell me how involved you are in each of those and like, what's the vision for the future?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. We'd love to answer those. And the future is so bright for all of us, you know, here on planet Earth, but particularly for Kay and I, we have the privilege to lead the restaurant group. Is probably our primary, not probably, it is it our is. Primary, as we like to say, our big girl job. And it's something that we've been involved with. Kay was 10 when mom and dad bought the restaurant. I was 17. So truly kids growing up in a family business, learning the ropes, bussing the tables, baking the biscuits, making the copies, stuffing the envelopes, all of that and in between. And so the Squeeze In, our restaurant, really is, you know, it's in our blood and it's our primary thing.
You know, changes to the menu or deciding on monthly specials ended up becoming dinner table topics.
Yeah, exactly. I know how that goes.
Yeah, so it's in our blood. Yeah.
So explain to me, I looked at the images on the line, but tell me more about what the Squeeze In is exactly. What type of restaurant?
Yeah, it's such a fun restaurant. Cute. It is so cute. It's a breakfast and lunch concept. It first started in Truckee, California, a little ski town in 1974. So it's a pretty old restaurant, but it is 10 and a half feet wide. So it's literally a hallway with tables you have to squeeze in order to enjoy the best omelets on the planet, which is what it serves. So we're breakfast and lunch, Bloody Marys and mimosas, omelets and Benedict. And so the food is amazing, but the atmosphere and experience is pretty special too.
Yeah. Well, we take a special interest in developing people. So we ensure that the service is going to be consistent, that the guest knows that they're always going to be taken care of. And that, that
you can sign the walls with a Sharpie. There's stuff hanging from the ceilings. Every location has a mural and a surfboard and
we bring different tables and chairs,
baskets of toys to play with so that they can stay entertained while you enjoy your mimosa. I mean, we do our best to create an experience for the people who come into our
restaurant.
And so
are people lined up waiting to get inside?
Well, definitely on the weekends they are. And during busy seasons in the different areas, you can find a line out the door, sometimes up to 2 hours, especially in the summer in Truckee. It gets pretty crazy, but it's a lot of fun to squeeze in as many as
you can. And do people talk to each other at their tables, even though they don't know each other because they're that close? Does that ever happen?
And there's totally camaraderie that happens, and our guests end up in conversations, lifelong friendships, marriages, I mean, proposals, all kinds of stuff happens between our guests at the Squeeze In. Yeah, it's awesome. They form their own community, and they form a community with the associates that are there. I mean, we own the company, but we are not the Squeeze In. We may be the face and be talking about it, but it is its own cool vibe thing that people get to plug into in 12 communities in our great country, and we're so honored to show.
Yeah, that is so exciting. I look forward to the future and seeing where it goes.
Us too. Thank you.
So how do you decide who's going to have what responsibilities? Shyla, are you the president right now? Is that...
Yes,
she's in charge
of the Squeeze In. And, you know, I think one of the advantages as we've gotten older is the fact that there is 7 years difference between us. Shyla here, the 7 year older one, I've always had the natural leadership position. And that meant that I did get to be directly mentored by mom in the leadership position. And Kay was directly mentored by mom in the marketing position and all of the things that were happening kind of while she still lived at home and saw that part of the business while I was getting the other side. So it really was the best of both worlds. But I'm in charge.
Ultimately, for sure. But there are things that we take the lead on, and definitely respecting each other's strengths, mm-hmm. I think has been one of those things where we understand where we're strong and where we're mm-hmm. weak. We ask for help where we need it, and we work where we think we can add the most value. Yeah.
It's really fun too, to see how like we can fill the seats on our bus. And sometimes, you know, you belong on the bus, but you might be right next to the right seat. And I think eventually we'll need to switch seats. And it's fun to look in the future and see
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so you're franchising now, huh?
Yeah. And that's been a whole journey in and of itself. Yeah. You know, we owned one restaurant, and then we owned two, and then we owned three, and then we owned four. And so you start to feel like, hey, we're pretty good at this restaurant owning thing. Yeah. Right. And so you start a franchise and to franchise your concept. And it turns out franchising is a totally brand new business. It's really not just, you know, copy your restaurant. Yeah. It's a whole new
business. So we actually have three businesses. We have a franchise company, we have a restaurant group, and then we have our personal
brand. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the franchise group, who's in charge of that?
That is a collective, I would say. Yeah. There are a few. Right now, our franchise ownership, our owners are a team of six. Mm-hmm. We have six owners. Some of them have multiple locations. Mm-hmm. And so Shai has a few that are her primary contacts. Yep. I have a few that are my primary contacts. We have an HQ team that also works directly with our franchisees. So we've built a really good, I think, system that's able to kind of decentralize. And that's kind of what franchising is all about. It's putting the power into people's hands to build a business based off of your concept. It's not your business, it's yeah. their business, and it's just your idea.
Yeah, exactly. But it took a lot of paperwork and processes and procedures and all of that to get it all going, right?
Of course. Well, unlike any ambitious business owner or entrepreneur who's experiencing success, you like things quickly. You think you're going to do it faster than everyone else. We start the process. We're like, oh, in 6 months from now, boom, we'll be selling. It'll be done. And that was absolutely not the case.
Two years later.
Still, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. And being able to kind of get the paperwork done was a hard part and a Herculean effort, but it was just the tip of the iceberg, honestly. Once you really got into what it took and what it was going to need, it was like, oh. Yeah. It's a brand new business.
Systems and scheduling, and it needs the whole gambit that the restaurants do, which is really
and systems for systems, yeah. right? Yeah. We know how to run a system inside one operation, right? How to get the eggs there and how to serve the people and get the coffee ground. But how do you make the system for that system so that it's the same across all the systems? It's a lot of systems.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, but it has been a great opportunity for us to
Such
grow.
Such a fun ride too. Yeah.
What fun things like bring all the six owners in together for meetings and, you know, personal
we
growth.
We literally fly them in hot air balloons.
Actually, true story. Two of our franchisees have now done the hot air balloon experience, which is a lot of fun.
But for as crazy of a ride as it is, of course, that comes with the privilege of having some really exclusive and amazing experiences, like getting to do hot air balloon rides for our people, like sponsoring community events like the hot air balloon races or other things at Art Town that mean something to us and the community that we've grown up in, and get to be there and be one of the sponsors and be part of that. It's such a great experience. And there's so many others.
Yeah. You know? Well, what's really unique about our concept, the Squeeze In, is that it's a place where all people are welcome. Mm-hmm. It's a place of expression and community and great food and really awesome people. Like, the people who work for us are incredible. And we try to nurture an environment where they feel they can express themselves fully, mm-hmm. which I think allows our guests to feel like they can come in and have this safe place where I know I'm going to get a great experience. I understand I'm going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful to be able to see other communities embrace that, not just the region of Northern Nevada, where we've built our own group of restaurants.
Right. And so how are you expanding with the franchises? Are you just waiting for someone to approach you and say, oh yeah, I want to open in Portland, Oregon, for example? Or do you have a strategic plan of where you want to go?
Well, at first we didn't have a strategic plan. I mean, the go was sell franchises, by any means necessary. But of course, like any other startup, the budget is negative for advertising dollars and those kinds of things. But our first few have really come through pretty organic efforts. Mm-hmm. It really necessitated the growth of that, which has been really cool and interesting to watch. So then we realized there does need to be strategy, right? And we did need to implement. So we actually pushed pause on selling in 2019, really focused on what the marketing plan would look like, what all of the support systems that we were lacking. If we really want to sell that big, we got to be ready to serve that big. And that meant getting ready to do that.
I mean, we still sold sold two, opened one, have two more that are about to come through into fruition. So it was still a busy year on the franchise. Yeah,
we just
side.
Went proactively, but we were not going to, you know, turn yeah. away.
Oh, you business. Want a franchise? No. Wait till 2020.
yeah, no.
yes. Yeah. One, like number one rule of marketing and sales, take yeah. the money when they're offering.
Yes. Well, our parents used to say when we were kids, before they owned the Squeeze Inn, if we could do anything, mm-hmm. we would own not just any restaurant, but we would own the Squeeze. Mm-hmm. And it's and not just the one in Truckee, but all of the Squeeze Inns inspire that feeling in people. Mm-hmm. And so we really do get, I mean, it's like we get 5 or 6 people interested every single week that say, I want more information about this. We do, the only advertising is a little spot on our menu that says, if you think this would work in your hometown, we'd love to hear from you. And it's really neat. People are inspired by the concept and we can see why. I mean, it inspired our parents and has yeah. continued
Changed
to inspire us
forever. Yeah.
To continue to grow.
So what aspects of the business do you enjoy the most?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great question because it actually leads us really well into the other side of things that we're developing and growing and doing. I think what the part of the business that we both love the most is the growth and the development of the people mm-hmm. inside and being able to build teams and see teams thrive and really build culture and values-based workplace. It's not an overnight fix though either. And it's a big body of work that you build and work towards every day, but we're pretty proud of where it is and where it can go.
Yeah, absolutely. Things like bringing more than just monetary value to our associates, mm-hmm. but really helping them to grow and develop as people mm-hmm. with values that go down all the way through our leadership that say, look, if you come in to Squeeze Inn for 6 months, for a year, if you're in college, like this is a great launching place for you. You're going to come in and you're going to get more than that. And you know, we're complimented all the time by other organizations headhunting mm-hmm. our people because we have great culture and it's we develop the people that are here. We want them to leave and go wherever they are, do something incredible.
Yeah, yeah what a great attitude. Because usually people who operate businesses go, oh, employees, they're my worst pain, you know? And it sounds like you're taking the opposite approach and saying, hey, they're my greatest opportunity.
Well, they can be your worst pain. And it certainly started out like that. I mean, we had that attitude yeah. and that culture for, you know, a while. And it's just, you know, a vestige of kind of the older systems kind of falling away and newer ones coming up. But that realization that people really are the thing that make the difference and that it's so much more enjoyable to work in that environment. But making that change and that shift is really hard because it is a transaction. The facts of the other style of relationship, transactional, is that it is, right? They're trading time for money. They should do their job, right? So that's kind of that old school model. Yeah. But getting to really see what consistently focusing on people, how that can compound in a business setting. I mean, we're at 8 figures. We'll probably do over 12 million in sales here in 2020. Wow. More than that if we can sell a handful of franchises. So it's exciting to see the growth.
Yes. And so what would you say was your biggest success in making that transition? Maybe success isn't the right word, but you know, what did you do that you think helped you to make that a success, making the transition?
Well, the first thing was our mom in 2013 went and joined an organization called the John Maxwell yeah. Team. And John Maxwell is the world's leading
number one leadership guy
yeah. ever. Yeah, he's like the guy. And so she went to this training and prior to that had very much had that attitude. At this time, she's the primary leader of the company, very much had this attitude of, you know, that it's a transaction. And we, of course, are her millennial daughters who are like, wait, it's about culture.
Our people.
Exactly. She goes to this conference and she comes back and she was a completely different person. I mean, Shai and I looked at each other and we were like, uh-oh, mom joined the cult.
She was just so different. So it went from, yeah, processes, systems, and efficiencies. Oh, it's people, systems, and efficiencies. I get it. And so we still needed the systems and efficiencies, but there could be space for both. So that was definitely a core turning point in, you know, just first bringing the awareness that it could be both and that we could have people and profits. And at that point, you know, 2013 was also the year where we were at 4 restaurants. So we had grown in the last 10 years behind us to 4 restaurants. We're doing really good, but mom and dad had to move into my husband and I's living room. Like like we barely made payroll that winter. Yep. It was a scary time
grew
in our business.
Too big and almost toppled.
Almost toppled because we just kept betting it all. And you know, that's not a smart strategy for long-term sustainability. And then she joins John Maxwell's team. We're able to slow down a little bit. We're able to focus on people. And what that actually did was then catapult us into exponential growth, which is where we see ourselves now, right? Yeah. So that was 2013. Here we are in 2020. We've got the 12 locations and all the deals on the books and the growth ahead of us. But that is that 7-year journey from that one singular turning point. Yeah. Awareness.
And how long did that little upside down time last?
It's still going.
No way.
No.
It was 6 months. 6 months, right?
Six months.
You guys did have a good turnaround there.
Great initiative. And then it just keeps getting up leveled to where I think we see it really being the vision that you see at 7 years and you start out and say, I want to make the transformation of my company and what it can be. And the compounding effect of that over the 7 years, it looks like how we wanted it to. And now we see so much more it could be.
Well, I think that this was an opportunity in our lives where the power of mentorship really came into play. Not only did we get this culture mentorship from John Maxwell, but we also had a really incredible financial advisor come into our world. Tanya McCaffrey is her name in the CFO group. And she had the business advice and things that she was able to say, hey, you know, let's talk about a sustainable growth strategy. And that was really helpful. Yes. And so we started seeing this value and this power of mentorship, and our mom's always been hungry for growth. Mm-hmm. She's always been a reader and a learner and somebody who was and had helped to instill that in us as well. But all of a sudden we had access to higher caliber mentors and it helped us to up-level everything. And so it was pretty quick that you guys were able to turn that back around into profitability.
Yes.
And then we started doing things like leadership retreats and taking everybody off site and doing growth investment things. And now that's come to fruition where in just 3 weeks, we are hosting what we are affectionately calling Growchella for our employees. We are closing the restaurant early, bringing them all to a central location, translating into Spanish for our Spanish workforce. And we are giving them a mini growth conference to help them and add value to their
lives. Wow. So people from all the locations are coming, even the franchises locations are just
no, this is just our local stores to start.
However, the retreat that we just held, a leadership retreat up in Lake Tahoe in November, we had all of our franchise managers and leadership was invited. I think half of them were able to make it, but it was really awesome to have the big franchise presence. We had 26 leaders together for a very intimate 3-day managers retreat. Yeah.
And then we're going to take mini Growchella on the road to them on our visit.
That's awesome. Yes, we'll
be able to bring it to them. It's going on tour.
Going on tour. The Bay Area and Las Vegas.
I hope it's filmed.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And so how did you get to be in this position that you're in with John Maxwell? You're like the gurus of marketing for the John Maxwell team or something, right? What exactly is it?
Yeah. So in 2015, we joined the John Maxwell team and
we joined the cult.
Well, I mean, after we saw the results, I mean, we drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. We were like, bring it on. Yeah. We had to. Around that timing, we had a lot of people out there, other businesses that were coming to us and saying, you guys as the squeeze in, you know, who does your marketing? It's really good. You've made it into national news outlets, your social media on point, who does your marketing? And we're like, well, we do it. And so we started on a journey of creating this boutique marketing agency where we're like, all right, well, we can do this. Our very first client was Rita's Italian Ice, where we were able to get out, help them develop their franchise concept here on the West Coast, which is a really great first win for us right out the bat. And then we took
All right, Kay is way downplaying this here. It's because you were in charge of the initiative. Kay was trained by Facebook, not on Facebook, but by Facebook itself. We've both been invited to the Facebook campus. You were a candidate for their small business initiative. What she really led for the marketing of the Rita's Italian Ice helped sell 700 franchise locations on the West Coast and completely changed what selling franchises looked like for Rita's Italian Ice. So it was a huge win. So by the time 2015, we get to joining the cult.
Yes.
We have this huge win under our belt. Kay does, and we get to the event and they're not doing anything with it. So now you can pick it back up.
Okay. All right.
Now that we have the real backstory.
Yes. Now that we have the real backstory. So we get to the John Maxwell team event and it was called at the time the live event. And there were 2,000 people who were there, and you've got John freaking Maxwell on a stage, and we did what any normal millennial would do. We pick up our phone and we look for a hashtag, you know, how can we talk about this on social media? And there was nothing. There were no posts going out. There was no hashtag.
You would not. 2,000 people were there.
And with 2,000 people in a room, a marketing opportunity like that it's mind blowing, the kind of marketing that can come out of an event. In fact, that's like what events are all about. It's a whole marketing initiative. And so it was really a good opportunity for us to step in and offer, you know, hey, can we maybe have to help you guys out with your social media? And so we asked the president of the company to give us the credentials to the Facebook. Our mom had built a relationship with him at this point, and he allowed us to take on the social media, and we totally knocked it out of the park.
While we were making sales from the event, we trended on Twitter. So I mean, we went up and we begged, just let us run the Facebook, please. You can't just not have things getting posted. But it was so successful that we found ourselves 2 weeks later negotiating the contract to come in and help them architect their marketing system for their entire organization. So Kay moves to Florida and lived there for a year and a half, helping build the marketing system and train the staff, and then handed the keys over to them and came home to have her baby and run the family business so mom and dad could retire.
Yes.
And now the two worlds have been married.
And the baby is now two.
Wow.
And then what was really even cooler was after that, the Don Maxwell team asked us, now you've built the marketing system for us that accounts for $90 million in sales. Can you teach the members about marketing and how do they market their business and their niche? When you're not John, but you got a dream like John, how do you start with the marketing like that? And we said, we would love to do that. And so we get to be the Maxwell Method of Marketing faculty members for the John Maxwell team.
Wow, that's awesome. So do people on the John Maxwell team then hire you guys to work with them, or are you just presenting material at meetings?
So the John Maxwell team is an organization of 30,000 coaches, speakers, and trainers, and it's more of an education base for people who want to be coaches, speakers, and trainers, leadership workshop leaders, DISC, personality assessment providers in their area. And so we provide the marketing training for those 30,000 people, and it's a part of their membership. Now, there are upgraded programs and things, but we're really honored to be a part of John's faculty for his coaches.
So what we really do is take John's material and message and teach how it applies to marketing, because the timeless principles are just that, they're timeless.
Right.
And they do apply to social media, and they do apply to the technical age, and face-to-face interaction and connection will always be the number one way to market. Yeah. And so we help them kind of understand conceptually and strategically how they can use their marketing and their current resources and not have to necessarily do the landing pages and be scared about the Facebook ads, because it's not really what's going to make you successful in this space.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm happy to hear that, because I think so many people come out of a coach training program and they don't have the marketing expertise, and they just are sort of floundering around, and they just got done spending a bunch of money on their certification. They're like, well, wait, where are my clients?
They have the heart
and they know how to do it. They just don't know how to tell people that they know how to do it in a way that actually
right
gets
people.
Those people and the right people to say yes.
Yeah. So do you do traveling for that?
Yeah, twice a year we find ourselves in Orlando at that, which is now called the International Maxwell Certification.
It got a name.
It got a name. It's an official thing. We travel to that event twice a year to give the training there and certify the new members in their Maxwell Method of Marketing. And then we get to do a lot of other speaking too. We speak at some digital media summits and other marketing summits, as well as personal growth and retreats and conferences.
In fact, coming up in March, we are speaking at the International Women's Entrepreneurial Symposium at the University of Nevada, Reno. Mm-hmm. We're really excited. There are some great international tech speakers and women's champions for entrepreneurship and for women's in finance. And we're really honored and excited to be able to serve our voices.
Yeah.
In this way.
Wow. That is so great. So you both have children. You have like three different or four different types of businesses. Okay. So the burning question is, like, when do you get to see your husband and your kids?
Every night. Absolutely. Yep. I mean, we have to do stints where we travel and we don't get to see them, but we really, you know, the beauty of our position and where we get to be and what we do is that time freedom and having the flexibility to drop the kids off at school, mm-hmm. You know, to be able to take to practices and things and be there when they need us or take little trips with them and have that flexibility and time freedom. So, you know, when people ask us, how do you guys do it all? We say, We don't. We definitely don't. We have a huge team of support and help, and that allows us to stay in our strength zone and not go super crazy. Because you gotta, that's juice of life, yeah. right? Like your kids and your family and your sisterhood, and like, because we still need time to like snicker and be idiots. Yeah, yeah. Your sisters. Do you have a sister?
Oh yes, of course.
You need sister snicker.
I think that we have a really good balance with that time freedom piece. And I think that this is really where most people get when they're on the entrepreneurial journey. They're looking to have time freedom. Now, if the business needs us, the time goes toward the business. There are times when there are emergencies happen and it doesn't matter if it's 2:00 in the morning, you are there. And that's business ownership. But it also means, like Shyla said, you know, if she's dropping her kids off at school in the morning or needs to go pick them up earlier, there's a doctor's appointment in the middle of the day. We don't have to ask anybody, can I take the time off to go and do that? Or if our family needs for us to drop everything to be with the family, we have the flexibility to also give our family that kind of attention.
Yeah. I think we're fortunate enough to be on that kind of side of the entrepreneurial journey where we get that benefit, because in the beginning it wasn't that, you know, when the twins were born, it was work every weekend. And there were, you know, tough times and hard things and time where it just felt like it's never going to pay off. And what are we doing? And we're giving our lives and this, and people aren't grateful and, you know, just questioning everything. So being able to come through that, because everyone imagines this part.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. But you know, through that really hard part and get through a lot of growth and not give up to get here.
I saw that you have a podcast too. Is that fairly new? I love the quest, the whole theme of the quest. That is very cool.
Thank you. We're actually on season 3 of our podcast. So each season has had a little bit of a different theme and a different name, but we're really excited about this season, starting with the Mentorship Quest is the name of the podcast now. And the main difference and thing that we're most excited about is that it is a 5-minute Monday through Friday daily podcast. So we go from a quote to a quest in 5 minutes.
Wow. I love it. What a cool theme. I saw that you had, Bruce Lipton, maybe that was in a blog post or something. And
on our podcast.
Oh, you have him on the podcast too. Yeah. I love his work and have been following him for quite some time. So when I read that, I thought, oh, they got to meet him.
Yeah. It was awesome. He spoke at the John Maxwell Team International Maxwell Certification, and it was an honor in August to get to interview him. He was a delightful man. I mean,
Go listen to the podcast interview. He talks for 45 minutes. It's enlightening. It's everything that Lipton always is. And he's amazing. We're huge fans too. We were fangirling. But the surprise and delight of the day was he is like energetically, personality-wise, he sparkles. He's happy.
He's jovial.
Just, like wants to just love and be loved and goes with the flow. Like it was one of the best energetic feelings we've ever had.
It was like we left feeling almost energetically cleansed by him. Like he helped us. It was really cool. We left all like
when we're down, right?
Totally. When we're down, there's a video that we filmed with him and we'll go watch it because where he's standing in between us and we say, we're here with Bruce Lipton. And he goes, and he like does a little reaction.
He's so sweet. He's the sweetest man.
And it's just so, it's just so innocent and delightful.
We love him. Yes.
So yes, big fans as well. And an honor to have him.
Yeah, that is very cool. So what is your vision for that aspect of your business, the blogging and the podcasts and all that? Is that supporting what you want to be doing in the future for speaking?
Yeah. And the focus on the podcast for 2020 is really to become more dimensional. So you can be looking out for a Monday through Friday daily email coming out called the Daily Quest, where that you can get your quest right from a written format in the email, or you can listen to it if you subscribe to the podcast. So we're going to be finding more ways to be delivering this content, the same content to our readers and listeners in the way that's going to be the best way for them to take that in. So excited to see it shift and grow grow in that direction, and definitely would love to and see our audience continue to build.
I think all of us can relate to seeing a quote on social media or a meme or something that really speaks to us. And what we're hoping to do is take those that speak to us and add some depth to it. So if someone says, you know what, that quote really resonates with me, listen to this 5-minute teaching where we're going to talk a little bit about the origins and the science of the quote. And then we're going to give you a little tiny daily quest, something that you can do that day that works you towards being better in that area. Put a coin in the bucket, dedicate, brush your teeth, like a little thing that you can quest towards that moves you forward. So we're excited to be bringing that depth to our content.
Our goal is to make our content bite-sizable for our audience so that we don't make growth hard. The question we keep asking ourselves is, how do we make growth easier for people? Because right now it's like, oh yeah, well, I read half of a book once and then I put it down. Yeah. Or, oh yeah, I watched a Gary Vaynerchuk story for 15 seconds and I got really motivated by that. But how do we maybe give somebody something like that to just spark a little bit more in them to work with?
Yeah, it sounds like you have a perfect plan. So,
thank you. We're excited.
It is certainly not perfect. Yeah. I am sure there will be fall downs along the way. The quest will like loop around a treasure chest.
Yeah, that's the beauty of life, right? You don't have to know everything right today. Just start, and then it goes somewhere. Yeah. Cool.
We'll see. Yeah. But all of this is leading up to something, a goal that's pretty significant coming in the next year.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're in the process of, we finished our book proposal and looking for a literary agent right now. And we're excited to move down that publication process and hopefully bring our story, or at least our first one, to the world. And as every author says, you know, when they look back on their life, oh my gosh, my first book was so bad. We're excited to be embarrassed of this book. I'm glad that
So it's so cool to read your story about the family business and how you've worked it for since when you were young girls and now taking over the reins and all the dynamic of that. So what advice do you have to other people who are thinking about starting a family business or are already in a family business and struggling a little?
Well, first off, buckle up and welcome to the club too, because most people who start a family business or in a relationship and do a business together think they're alone, but there's a huge percentage of people who work with their family. And historically speaking, this has kind of been the model.
Yeah. You have kids to work your farm, man. That's right? Like what it used to be about.
So we always say embrace the family, you know, relationship and dynamic. You've got to have an economic engine to power your life. You already have a family part of your life. If you have a functional family that can make it work, there's certainly a caveat there. Why not put them together so that you can spend more time with the people you love and care about and nurture connections and iron sharpen iron and strengthen connections and strengths together. We really love that part of doing it together and doing it with someone that we love.
Yep. Definitely a good piece of advice is to find some separation between church and state. Find a way and maybe some boundaries or a code word or a way that you can help yourself let things go. If we get in trouble with each other for something that we need to hold each other accountable for in the business, we do this.
We have a little motion where we put out our hand and then the other person smacks the hand. And it's like our physical way of signifying that, yes, you messed up and I forgive you. I slap your hand. We move on. So for us, those are little symbols that work and help us kind of keep the slate clean and the engine going, because there's a lot of decisions, a lot of tough things, a lot of hard moments, and a lot of moving parts that we've got to stay aware of and on top of.
One of the things that could have never come to fruition had we not put in place a rule and a frequent practice of talking about our talking. We make it a habit of communicating about how we prefer to be communicated to, the things that we think each other could do better at communicating, the areas that we see for growth in each other and communicating those things respectfully and receiving those things respectfully. But that's taken a lot of setting boundaries and having tough conversations, but powering through those things can be really worth it.
And of course, there's been tears. Of course, there's been fights. Of course, there's been walkouts from the table, and you know that and that's okay. Yeah, that's also part of the journey.
And what about your husbands? Do they work in the business too?
They do, in different varying degrees, and over the years have come in and out of it. My husband, Chad, was very involved in the business for about 10 years and definitely took the front when my kids are 9, 9, and 6. So a little bit older, but when they were first born, I was home a lot and he was the one that was really on the front lines of the business. So he's lucky enough now to be stepping back and into a new career, which is what he wants. But thank goodness he carried the torch. And Kay's husband, Danny, helps a lot with our graphics and in our marketing department, as well as our operations and logistics here in town. He's a huge help.
Great. Well, fantastic. That's great. So one thing that I always ask everyone who's on the Sort of Success podcast with me is, what are three traits that you look for in people that when you see them, you know that person is going to have the right mindset and ability to really soar to success? So what are three traits that you can think of?
We hear people use language in which they are taking self-accountability for the things that have happened and that they are doing in their life. And maybe this is a bit of an opposite, because when we hear people in an interview say things like, well, that job was just really bad and that town just really didn't do me well and that person just, we had an issue, that's huge red flag for us. But when you hear somebody say, well, man, I made that mistake, but I owned it and I learned these three things, it's like, wow, really, really empowering when people own up to what it is that they've done and the mistakes that they've made.
Well, I think so. Number one is what you're talking about there. Number one is responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, they take responsibility for their lives. And it also feeds the number two thing, which is a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. That person who just said that is also demonstrating the second thing that we really look for. And that's a growth mindset. Are you looking for ways to grow? And that doesn't mean you have to be looking for ways to grow in my company, but do you have something that you're passionate mm-hmm. about? Oh man, I love creating music. I do it on my off time, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is, they've got to have passion and kind of that growth and hunger. Is definitely a must for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that third thing is consistency. We really look at how are they at the consistency in the workplace, in their past workplace. How have they done? Frankly, when people show up and the discipline in their body is very apparent because they're not moving their body on a regular basis.
It's a demonstration
of their consistency. And so when you hear people use language that demonstrates their consistency, when you see people show up who demonstrate consistency in their life, that's someone who's poised for success. So responsibility,
consistency and growth.
Yeah.
Consistency and a growth.
Excellent.
Mindset.
Thank you. So how can people reach out to you?
Oh, if people would like to reach out to us or find out more about us, we would love to have you on the mentorship quest or part of our Instagram or Facebook community. We would love to be a voice in your ear along your quest. You can find us at kayandshi.com, kayandshi.com. And from there, you can listen to any of our podcasts. You don't have to sign in. You don't have to have an account. You can just click play and listen to any of the podcasts, which is great. And then you can find us on all those social media platforms at KNShy, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And if I want to start a franchise, where do I go?
You can go to squeezeinfranchising.com. And if you even just go to squeezein.com, you can find out all kinds of information about our restaurant, our menu. Maybe you're just curious, or you have one in your area or want to see if there is one in your area, or maybe you want to plant one, squeezein.com, or you can head over to squeezeinfranchising. Either of those will get you to a good place.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking a moment of your time today to talk to me. It was really, really fun for me to hear your story and get to know you a little bit. And I can't wait to go to a Squeeze In and send you a picture on Instagram.
Yeah, we can't wait.
You. Thank you. It was really an honor and a joy to be on with
so
you.
Fun.
We loved your energy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.